assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Verse Number 7. Amantra Pandu Putramsha Shane Yodhva Sanyutaha Dvaipanaya Bhir Vipraha Vipraye Pujita Pratipujitaha Amantra Pandu Putramsha Sanayodhava Sanyutsam Yutaha Dvapayana Ibidibhir Vipraha Vipray Pujitai Pratipujitaha Amantra Pandu Putramsha Saine Yodhava Samyutaha Dvaipayanadhi Bhirviprae Pujitai Pratipujitaha. Amantra Pandu Putramsha Saine Yodhava Samyutaha Panayati Virviprae Pujitai Pratipujitaha. Pujitai Pratipujitaha. Prapanda Putramsha Yodhavasam Yutaha Vipre Pujitai Pratipujitaha. Any Matajis? Amantra Pandu Putramsha Jaini Yodhava Samyutaha Vaipana Jaini Prayer Ita Pratipujitaha. Synonyms as transferred by word translation by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Amantra, inviting. Pandu Putran, all the sons of Pandu. Cha, also. Shaineva, Satyaki. Uddhav. Samyuta, accompanied. Dvaipayana Adibhi, by rishis like Vedavyas. Vipray, by the Brahmanas. Pujitai, being worshipped. Pratipujitaha, the Lord also reciprocated equally. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Krishna then prepared for His departure. He invited the sons of Pandu. After having been worshipped by the Brahmanas, headed by Srila Veda Vyas, Srila Vyasadev, the Lord also reciprocated the greetings. Purport. Apparently, Lord Krishna was a Kshatriya and was not worshipable by the Brahmanas. But Brahmanas present there, headed by Srila Vyasadeva, all knew him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore they worshipped him. The Lord reciprocated the greetings just to honor the social order that Kshatriya is obedient to the orders of the Brahmanas. Although Lord Krishna was also offered respects due to the Supreme Lord from all responsible quarters, the Lord is never deviated from customary usages of the four orders of society. The Lord purposefully observed these social customs so that others would follow him in the future. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovrishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Pyae Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, we welcome everybody for today morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So, yesterday we had this auspicious Mokshada Ekadashi, Gita Jayanti, the day when Lord Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita starts with the letter Dhar, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetra, Dhar, Dhar. And it ends with a letter Matir Mama, Ma. So it starts with Dhar and ends with Ma. That means what lies in between is dharma. Because the whole Gita starts with dhar and ends with ma. I just wanted to share my small experience of book distribution. As I had shared before that when we were studying at Grant Medical College, myself and Sukhdev Prabhu, we had 1,000 students staying in the hostel and 998 never bothered to chant. Only me and Sukhdev Prabhu used to chant. That too, devotees used to come on Saturday, convince us to chant. By Monday, we used to stop chanting because the moment the devotees used to go out, everybody Others used to come and say, kya hai, what is this? Yes, no, ye, nonsense, this. So then, Gaurang Prabhu arranged a solution to this, and he started tiffins for both of us. So, what brahmacharis used to eat at 12:30, the same tiffin used to be filled at 11 o'clock when the lunch used to be ready and was sent there. And after that, tiffin was started, and when people afterwards used to come and tell us, nay, nothing, this is, so we used to look at the tiffin and we used to say, now if we stop chanting, the tiffin will stop. So, we never gave up chanting after that. And I shared this before, both of us were slim, thin fellows that time, 67 kgs. And that was my final MBBS. We used to eat, I still remember, we used to eat at 12:30, literally get intoxicated. We never used to bother to get up and wash our hands also. We used to sleep like that only. Get up at 3:34, wash our hands, study for some time. And evening 7 o'clock, again that dabbawala used to come with khichdi. So we were just practically eating. That was the most blissful time. But our weight from 67 became exactly ulta, 76. So both of us became fat. And after the exam was over, that December 1996, I was the first time I came for chanting in the temple. Before that, I used to, almost for 2 years, I was attending program, but I never came for morning chanting. So, in between, I had met Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He said, now, exams are over, you start, restart your chanting nicely. So, I came. So, when I came for chanting and then I was about to go for my vacation, one of our book distributors, he caught me. He said, now you have vacation, so you have to distribute books. And he gave me some 3-4 boxes of Bhagavad Gita. And I had no training, no experience of how to distribute Bhagavad Gita. And with that, I sat in the bus. That time, there was no tours and travels, nothing. I put it in the bus, all those boxes, got it down and took it to my home. I had full plans of enjoying my vacation. And now I was just looking at those boxes. And they were so heavy that I didn't want to carry it back to Mumbai also. So I reached Satara. And every day morning after having my breakfast, I used to put those Gitas on my bicycle. And I used to go around the city. I used to go in factories. I used to go in shops. I used to visit the Jilla Parishad. Imagine a whole city and a single book distributor. Because there was no program also that time. And literally, and I used to take a vow almost, ki I will finish these books and only then I will go home. And every day I used to come home at 6 p.m. and then have my whatever it was, lunch or dinner, I don't know. I used to eat and I used to sleep, get up in the morning. Because only thing I used to see in my dreams is those 4-5 boxes that I have to finish. This. Finally, I finished all those 5 boxes. I went to one factory, that factory union leader took it. He became a devotee also. I went to Jilla Parishad, I remember, and one lady had gone for lunch. And the other lady sitting there said, she is interested. She is interested so in Gita, so you wait. So I waited for 1 hour just to give that Gita to her. And I distinctly remember after she came back, she took the Gita. And what I did is, I said, because I'm doing all this, let me start a program in this city. Program was already on a small scale. So I kept a program on 27 December 1996. And in every Gita, I put a pamphlet. I said, I'm distributing Gita, so let there be a program also. And that lady, she took the Gita. She came for the program and started chanting 16 rounds. She met me there also, that you gave me Gita in the Jilla Parishad. I said, yes, yes. And then afterwards, she took initiation from Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Then her daughter also got initiated. Her daughter is the wife of His Grace Veerchandra Prabhu. So I just realized the potency of book distribution. So when my results were out and I was going back, I was about to board the bus. So on the bus stands, previously there used to be this put 1 rupee and weigh yourself. Those machines with those bulbs, I think those who are of my generation, they remember. And so now I was going back, so I put the coin there and weighed myself. It was exactly 67 kg. So I wrote an article on this called Khichdi Ka Karz. So whatever khichdi I had eaten for 1 year, Krishna, every morsel I had to pay for that book distribution I did, literally, I'm trying for losing weight for so many years, it's not happening. But in that 1 month, I came back again from 76 to 67. 1 month, some 7-8 kgs I dropped. And my realization was that whatever prasad we eat, Krishna is, you know, keeping the hisab of all of it, that he is eating prasad. So keep on distributing prasad also, because then Krishna will get it back from them. Make them chant, make them distribute books, make them devotees, do devotional service. So that was my small realization about the book marathon. And literally that book marathon started a center over there. After that, a big program, a center was started eventually. Now we have a temple also. But that whole center started with a book distribution done in December 1996. So coming to the translation, Lord Krishna then prepared for his departure. And in the translation it is written, Lord also reciprocated with the greetings. Whenever we read the word Lord reciprocates, so again question mark comes to our mind that when, why is he not reciprocated with me? He is reciprocating with him and her and everybody and pure devotees. So Prabhupada many times asks us a question that are we reciprocating? Forget about Krishna reciprocating. Krishna is giving us so much. And the famous Prabhupada's statement about remembering Krishna comes from that whenever we drink water, raso hamasya kaunteya, that he is the taste of water. So whenever we drink water, we have to remember. So I'm just taking this Srila Prabhupada's analogy and expanding it. Not only that, we are breathing air in and out every time. So much we are obliged to Krishna. Actually, whenever we help somebody, like in this pandemic, we were helping people through this WeCare and all. We used to give somebody 50,000, 1 lakh. And that devotee used to feel so obliged to all the devotees, you know, that I got money. 1 lakh rupees or 50,000, whatever. And that out of obligation, somebody helps us, we stand up, we never, you know, do speak anything wrong with that person or his relatives. So much we get obliged. Now how much obliged we are to Krishna, that our every breath we are taking in oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide actually. You know, taking in Krishna's oxygen and giving carbon dioxide back, that is our body. But that oxygen, which is oxygenating all our cells, so much we are obliged that every breath. Now I'll take you to, and therefore we are obliged to Krishna, so we should be treating him and all his relatives, that is all the devotees, very nicely. Now I will take you, because I'm a doctor, I always take you on a journey of medicine. Again, I'll take you to this journey of medicine, that how we should be thankful to Krishna. Actually, just because we are healthy, we forget to thank Krishna. And I'll go from head to toe. In my young age, I never thanked Krishna for my hair. But now when I started losing it, you know, I realized that yes, that was there. Below the hair comes the brain. And I'm telling you this. Brain, normally it is functioning so nicely and we also are comfortable walking around. But once somebody gets a stroke, just one small artery burst, that brain just stops functioning, not able to talk, not able to walk. That means the point when brain was okay, I should have thanked Krishna. For how many times we thank Krishna that our eyes, you know, those who have crossed 40, age of 40, they realize that now they cannot read. So for reading they have to do like this. Those who have crossed 60, 70, they get cataract. With the same eyes now not able to see. But when we were normally seeing, we never thanked Krishna. Nose, in COVID many of you must have experienced loss of smell and taste, what, how bad it is, so some of you who suffered from COVID. Our tongue, we nicely eat prasad, but when, I'll not talk about cancer so much, but when tongue is the only place where I am referring to, those who get tongue cancer, their tongue is cut off. And then they put a Ryle's tube for that patient and everything is fed through that tube. That means after that the person is never able to taste food. He may be just shown that I am giving you pineapple, I am giving you pineapple juice, watermelon juice. But that directly goes in the stomach. Now imagine not able to taste food for whole life. Can we just, we, those who enjoy, you know, honoring prasad, we cannot even think of such a situation. We swallow food, but some days we get pharyngitis. And that time every swallowing anything, so we look at food and we think 10 bites now I have to take. And it becomes painful. We are normally breathing, but those who get an asthma attack, for them every breath, you know, is a strenuous effort. Those who get a heart attack, and though we may have seen this in ICU or we may have seen this in some movies, that ECG line becomes flat. And that time, even if it bounces once, people become hopeful. Ek bar heart ne beat kiya. Oh, thank you. Chalo, let's try more. So for one heartbeat also relatives thank that time. For one heartbeat. They see one spike and they feel, oh, one heartbeat. And our heart beats 72 times normally. So many occasions to thank Krishna. Liver, anything happens, we lose taste. Our large intestines, you know, because of stress, some people get irritable bowel syndrome. And then they get so frustrated, always getting a reflex to use the washroom. Those coming to the end of the gastrointestinal tract, the anal canal of the human beings is only 3.8 centimeter long. But in that anal canal, people get diseases like piles, fissure and fistula. And once they get it, they cannot even sit in one place. Many people who are traveling in the railways and who are suffering from piles, they stand up. They say, no, I cannot sit for long. You know, sitting is a problem for them. In anatomy, I was taking a class, and for this, our upper limb, this movement I was teaching. And I was telling the students that this movement is pronation and this is supination. And there are two bones here. So you may have seen sometimes when people get fracture here, it has to be operated, otherwise those two bones unite. And once that unite, this movement is not possible. So one of my students raised his hand, sir, ye pronation, supination, hum kidhar aisa kya karte? We don't use this action. So it's okay if the bones unite. Why to operate the patient? I said, you are not observing your day-to-day movement. Whenever you are eating, you are doing this, cutting the chapati with your fingers and then putting it in the mouth, you are doing this supination. If that movement is stopped, you will have to do like this. Somebody will have to, so he said, oh sir, sorry, I didn't realize it. You know, going down to our lower limb, a small spur, if it develops in our toe, or sometimes people get arthritis of the knee. For them, getting up from the chair is such an effort. They have to think, then they do like this, then they call somebody. We so easily get up, sit down, walk, but we never thank God for that. But once a person gets arthritis, he has to literally, somebody has to pull him. And going, I said head to toe, and in the toe, some people develop a spur. A small
bony growth like a thorn. It's like having a thorn in our foot permanently. So every time we step, we have our own thorn. It is only, kind of pricking our toe. So being healthy head to toe and thanking Krishna for every breath and every heartbeat, that none of us are doing. Once only the heart is about to stop, people start shouting Krishna, Krishna. And when the breath person becomes breathless, he starts intensely remembering Krishna. So that should not be done. Rather, one should be reciprocating with Krishna, having this healthy body. Of course, it's not that disease is some Krishna's curse. That is also Krishna's mercy in other form. But healthy body also is Krishna's mercy, and we should be thanking Krishna for that. So purport begins with Srila Prabhupada saying that apparently Lord Krishna was a Kshatriya and was not worshipable by Brahmanas. Now if you see Krishna, he actually did job of all the four Varnas. Yesterday was Gita Jayanti, and that was the time Krishna became a teacher. He behaved like a Brahmana. He was not born in a Brahmana family, but he became a teacher, guru, Brahmana. Arjuna became a disciple. Then he was born a Kshatriya and he was king of Dwarka, Dwarkadish. So he did duties of Kshatriya also. And in between, in his childhood, he was transferred to Gokul, where he became a Vaishya. He didn't mind that also, and he was taking care of cows. He was not saying that I was a born Kshatriya and you cannot make me herd the cows. And then, at the end, at the Kurukshetra war, when he was 125 year old, he became a Shudra, a charioteer. And he didn't mind that also. If you see the life of Karna, he was born as a Suta Putra, but he was struggling to become a king. Krishna was born king, and he became a Suta, just to serve his devotees. So he, by his example, has shown that it's okay. You can work in any varna comfortably. But people have so many obligations and so many allegations they put upon our caste system. Krishna, who says Chatur Varnam Maya Srishtam, he lived by it. And he lived in all the four varnas and showed to the whole world. And at no point he complained that, I'm working as a charioteer, I'm giving bathing the horses, and Arjuna is kicking me from behind to tell whether to turn right or left, and so much of dust is here on Kurukshetra. Nothing. Very nicely he was working as a charioteer. So Karna tries to give up his Suta thing and wants to become a king, and here Krishna just to serve his devotees. So if somebody has a service attitude, he doesn't mind switching from any of these varnas. He doesn't mind becoming a Brahmana. So he had a service there to console Arjuna, he becomes a Brahmana. He had a service there to please the Vrajvasis, he became a Vaishya over there. And when he was told, no, you are needed over there to kill Kamsa, so he becomes a Kshatriya. And after that, he was told, no, here is a role for you to become a charioteer. He says, okay, I become a charioteer also. So, the Lord who created the Varnas has told how to live by it. Now, Brahmanas, the next part of the purport, Brahmanas there, headed by Vyasdev, knew him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How they knew him? Because of the reading of scriptures. Only when we read the scriptures, we know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We read more about him. At times I feel that Duryodhana never did book reading. Because Krishna came, everybody realized that he is Supreme Lord, but Duryodhana didn't realize. Like we have this food chain. We must have studied in our childhood. Grass is the producer, and there is primary consumer, secondary consumer, tertiary consumer. So in our, this is called as food chain. So there is food for the soul chain also. There are producers like Vyasdev and Srila Prabhupada. You know, they actually produce books, produce knowledge. Then there are primary consumers who read their books. all of you, you know, and then churn it out. Then there are some secondary consumers who learn from you. Then there are some tertiary consumers who learn from them. And then there are people like me who listen to all the lectures only. And then give lectures. Such people are called as apex predators in the food chain. You know, they are at the top of the food chain. You know, they don't take pains to read books. All that is coming from the producers and primary, secondary, tertiary consumers. So what we should try to do in the spiritual food for the soul chain is don't try to be high up in the chain. We cannot be producers because Srila Prabhupada and Vedavyas has already written books. But at least we can be primary consumers. You know, read those books and generate knowledge for others. Srila Prabhupada's books, which we are distributing this month, and of course throughout the year also, they are specially designed for Kali Yuga. You know, like we talk about nowadays tailor-made things. So these books are kind of tailor-made. Sometimes people say ki this, at intervals Srila Prabhupada repeats the things. Yeah, that is how, because we keep on forgetting, that's why he repeats. These books are dictated by Krishna. Whenever in our counseling group we discuss about reading books and somebody tells me I read this book, that book, which is not Srila Prabhupada's book, I really don't count it as book reading. I said, firstly Srila Prabhupada's book. Because that is our cross meal. Like sabji, chapati, dal, rice. That is our cross meal. That gives us nourishment. We may find nectar in other books. That's good. That may be like a sweet dish. But we cannot survive on sweet dish. We have to, our body survives on cross meal. Srila Prabhupada's books are like a cross meal to us. The next line of the purport says, the Lord reciprocated the greetings just to honor the social order of the Kshatriya. The Lord reciprocates. You know, in this material world, many people become unhappy because the opposite person is not reciprocating. You know, so many times we hear, I am giving so much to him, he is not giving it back. You know, complain. Lord knows how to perfectly reciprocate. I'll tell you a fictional story for this. This is a story in one of the temples where there is the Lord and there is only one servant who is cleaning, he is doing aarti and everything. One pujari. So, it's a fictional story, but it's nice lessons to learn. So once this servant says to the Lord that, Lord, whole day you keep on standing for months and days and years. One day let me stand here. You take rest. One day you take rest. So the Lord says, no, this is fine. This is, I am okay with this. No, he said, one day I want to give you rest. So he agrees and then the Lord goes for, but the Lord before going, he tells him that don't interfere in anything that is happening. You just stand. Just stand and watch. I have arranged everything. You don't have to do anything. So he's standing. So whole day goes on, nothing uneventful happens. And then one rich man comes and with all of his people with him, and then he donates money. And then he forgets his money bag on near the altar and then he just walks away. He forgets. Then comes a poor devotee. Pure nahi, poor devotee. And he prays to Lord that, you know, I don't have money and this and that. And as he prays to the Lord, he looks down, he sees the money bag. He says, oh, this is, you know, Krishna's arrangement, you know, for me to. So he says, thank you. So he takes it and goes away. So this servant who is standing there as God, he is watching all this. Then comes a sailor who is about to board his boat. So he comes, he prays to the Lord that please protect me. I am going to the ocean. It's so risky. And suddenly comes the rich man with the police. And the rich man says, I forgot the money bag here only. And look, he is here. There is nobody in the temple. And he is here. So police say, oh, you, where did you keep? Where is the money? He said, no, I don't know anything. And this man is watching this, and he had seen that poor man taking the money, and now they are taking this poor seller who is innocent. So he says, stop. He says, stop, stop, stop this. Those people start hearing voice from the altar. He said, that poor man who must be just around at the exit gate, catch him. He is the one who took the money back. Relieve him. He is faultless. And then in the night, the Lord comes back and he says, how was the day? He said, that day was full. But he said, such a strenuous job. He said, why strenuous? I told you not to interfere. He said, how can I not interfere? He told the whole story. And then the Lord sat there, you know, holding his hand. He said, this rich man, he had not done any good deeds. He is going to die tomorrow. This poor devotee, he is so poor that he doesn't have food at house. So, today if he would have not received money, his family would have suffered from starvation because all his food in the house. So, I had arranged that this poor man, this rich man forgets that purse and this poor man receives it. He eats this food. Because he is a devotee, the rich man gets some pious credit, some sukruti. And he gets that sukruti, and because of that, tomorrow he is dying. So, no good work he has done. This one good work will be added to him. And that sailor, you know, there was supposed to be storm in the ocean. So, I didn't want the sailor to go today. So, I had arranged that he spends his night in the jail and leaves tomorrow. So, now what has done is, you have done is, the rich man is going to die without any pious credits. The poor man is going to starve and sailor is going to die in the ocean. This is how you messed up everything. So, he realizes, oh, Krishna actually is reciprocating with everyone. We don't know the reciprocation. We, as human beings, for us, you know, reciprocation every time means that I go to Krishna, I ask something, and that happens in the day. That means Krishna has reciprocated. No. Krishna's reciprocation was to put that sailor in jail so that he is saved. So apparently it would have been that, oh, Krishna, I came to you so that, you know, you protect me and you put me in jail. It's better I would have been in the ocean. But no, ocean was going to kill him. So, Krishna has his own special ways of reciprocating. So, in this material world, devotees do reciprocate. Karmis, you know, some of them, yes, definitely, they are very well-mannered, good-mannered. They say, thank you. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj always talks about his mother teaching him to thank. So, anything you go and tell Maharaj, Maharaj will say thank you. Even if you say, Maharaj, I chanted my rounds nicely, Maharaj will say thank you. So, that is thanking. But karmis, when my experience I want to share with, how they most of the times don't thank or thank at the wrong time. I have told this one story during my Prerana class that when I was supervising a dissection hall and there was Antakshari going on by the side and all the students came to me, sir, sir, Antakshari, we want to go. So I said, okay, I will go to my room and you run away at your own risk. So there was a deal done. So deal was done. Students ran away. Then head of department calls me. Where are the students? I said, sir, I went to refer a book. They ran away. Then don't tell me. I said, sir, sure. He said, tell me the truth. I said, sir, this is how it happened. He said, I caught them when they were running. They told me Dr. Bhosle left us. He said, told us to go. So we ran away. And that came as such a shock to me that I had done a deal with them that they will run away at their risk. And when they were caught, they told my name and I got a firing. And you know, next year, again there was Antakshari. Again students came to me. And then I stood at the door. I said, nobody will step out. I'll see. And I was 3 hours I was standing at the door. And they were thinking, why this teacher is like this? You know, and then I wrote an article on that it's not that teachers make students. Students also make a teacher. You know, a teacher who is in our school used to always say, I'm both khadus teacher. The experiences he gets, he becomes like that. So what I want to say is, they don't even thank you. they put you in a mess actually. That was my experience with this thing. So this was about no thank you. Now another experience, one of our teachers, when he was taking lecture, and students were making noise. So he said, "You know everything? So I will arrange a test for you." And then he said, "Those who pass the test," it was not one of the official tests, unofficial. Then he said, "They will get this punishment, that punishment and all." And then he got this Gray's Anatomy book, which is used. Nobody reads at undergraduate level. And from the footnotes, he set a paper. While he was dictating the paper, that time there were no Xerox machines also. When he was dictating the paper, students were asking, "Sir, kya? What is it? Repeat." Then he used to write on the board. So they were hearing it for the first time. And after doing all that, he told me, "Now you supervise. I'll have tea and come from the canteen." So moment he left, everybody, sir. So I got my Gray's Anatomy book. I was referring, and then I was telling him, sir. Everybody was calling. I was going here and there. So before, then one servant was standing looking whether he's coming back from the canteen. And then he came, sir, he's coming. So then, you know, everybody is helped. So now he comes. He said, "Now come one by one, keep your paper." So I was standing next to him. So first student came, he kept the paper, looked at me and said, "Thank you, sir." I said, why are you saying thank you? Thank you at the wrong time, reciprocating. I said, "Why are you saying thank you?" So he asked me, "Why is he saying thank you to you?" I said, "Sir, his pen was not working, so I gave him my pen." So second student came, "Sir, thank you, sir." And then I was exposed. You know, this is how students make a teacher. They thank at the wrong time. Another student who, when I was warden of the hostel, and I was knowing he's going through bad phase, so I was helping him. And then one day he went missing. And he went to Dehradun. And that time there were no mobiles, nothing. And he wrote a inline letter from there to the dean that I was disturbed, that's how I have left the campus and this and that. And in below he wrote, "And thank you to Dr. Yuvraj for guiding me." I said, "Guide? I didn't guide him, no. I said I was helping him." Again I was, you know, under fire. Once I was taking a class on, you know, these people, you must have heard, they take a cut over here and they feel that they will die. They get bugged up with life and they take a cut and they lie down. Many of our students used to do that. And actually, here, God also had such nice arrangement. All the blood vessels which pass, He has put a nice thick covering here, which is called as a retinaculum. So even if somebody takes a cut, nothing happens. So they used to get up after 1 hour, bapre, nothing has happened. They used to think that they will get up in heaven. And they are in the same room and the bed sheet is soiled and they had to wash the bed sheet. Everybody used to ask, "Kya lal rang kya hai?" Nothing. In the bathroom, there slowly, many such cases happened. So once I was teaching about this, and then I was saying that this is the flexor retinaculum, because of which the suicide attempts fail. So there is a perfect place where to cut. And then I said, because of my experience, I stopped. I said, "No, I will not tell you. Because you will commit suicide, and in the letter again, you will write, 'Thanks to Dr. Yuvraj for telling me the exact site where the cut has to be taken.'" Even sometimes people feel that they take a cut over here, people die. But if you see this huge muscle over here, God also knows the whole, He is the person who has done all these anatomical structures, created it. So that muscle always protects. So there is a specific position where the neck has to be taken and then cut has to be taken. But again, I'm not going to tell this to anyone. Because I don't want to come in anybody's thank you letter unnecessary. So this was my experience with Karmis, of thanking at the wrong time, at wrong place, on the wrong occasion. So when we work with the Karmis, only thing I have learned, that is what I have learned, that all those Karmi help what we give to them and all, most of the times they give it back to us in the form of problems only. So only good thing we should do is give them spirituality. Or rather, even if we are philanthropically helping them, we should ensure that we give them philosophy also. When they really become happy by that, and then they thank us for giving them Krishna consciousness. That's the only thank which is one of the secured reciprocation. About reciprocation of the Lord, this in the Nectar of Devotion book, Srila Prabhupada in that book and Rupa Goswami, the 17th quality is the Lord is grateful. And there three examples are given. At least I'll try to cover one example, which is from Mahabharata. Srila Prabhupada writes that any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. In the Mahabharata, Krishna says, when I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, "Hey Govinda, this call for me has put me in her depth." That indebtedness has is gradually increasing in my heart. This statement by Krishna gives evidence of how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing Him, "Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda." So actually, there are two versions of these stories. One say that once Krishna's finger was cut and Draupadi had tied a small cloth around it. And that's how Krishna was indebted to every threat, so people say. So in small cloth, in Hindi language we call it Chindi. And Hindi always, in Bombaya Hindi we use the word Chindi devotee. My ekdam Chindi devotee matlab I am nothing. Chindi Admi ho. People use this word. Matlab, I am lower than the worm in the stool. In Hindi is called Chindi. So I always say that don't call yourself Chindi devotee, because Draupadi was that. Because she gave that small Chindi to Lord Krishna and was tied. So don't, Chindi devotee is a very big position. So let's just go into the story fast, how Krishna helped her. And some of the nice things which I picked up while reading of doing this Mahabharata reading, I'll just share with you. I'm not going every incident by incident, but as this dice game was over and the Pandavas were defeated, we know that this servant Pratikamin was sent. And 2-3 times he went and then again he was sent. And second time when Draupadi asked him, you know what he says? He says, "Oh princess, the assembly is summoning you. It seems the destruction of the Kurus is close at hand. When a weak-brained Duryodhan wishes to take you before the assembly, he will surely no longer be able to protect his prosperity." And what struck me through here, that a servant working in the royal palace was able to understand that what Duryodhan was doing was wrong. You know? So though he was nothing, he was just a servant and he was sent to call Draupadi. So many times our juniors who live as if like our servants, they can also predict. They also sometimes tell us that he is doing wrong and we ignore it. Many those scandals that happen and then the servant tells that he was always doing like this, like that. I was feeling it is wrong, but how could I tell anything? So we have to realize that when we are doing wrong, even our juniors realize. And Pratikamin is the example of this. He directly told that destruction of Kurus is close. That's what I can tell you. You know, so he was realizing it and Duryodhan was not. Okay? And then Draupadi also speaks very nicely with him. She says that he who is the great ordainer of the world has ordained this without doubt. Happiness and misery come to both wise and unwise. We feel that because I am devotee only happiness should come to me. And misery should only go to the non-devotees. No, it doesn't happen like this. So morality is said, however, to be the highest object in this world. If we preserve morality, it will pour blessings upon us. As the incident goes ahead, the Dushyasan goes and drags Draupadi. And when she comes to the hall, you know, she literally says, shame on you. And she says, all of you have the same mind. So actually one feels that she is offending, you know, there were great personalities in the hall. And she actually says that Drona, Bhishma, you have lost your greatness because you are not condemning what is happening with me. But Draupadi didn't suffer for, you know, criticizing all of them. Rather, they all criticized for not speaking up. They all suffer. They all, you know, suffered for not speaking. Most of the time when, you know, anything related to Mahabharata war, you know, the thing goes back to the Vastraharan. At least said, during Vastraharan, he said like this. During Vastraharan, he didn't say anything. That's why. So that grave was the offense committed. In between, Bhima gets angry and he says that, you know, even the gamblers, they may have loose women in their house, but they never stake them. And he said, I'm so angry that he tells Sahadev, bring fire, I want to burn Yudhishthir's hand. That is what Bhima says. And, you know, Arjuna says that, I had never seen you speaking like this. Your morality can be destroyed by this. Don't fulfill our enemy's wishes. They will be so happy seeing all of us fighting. And then, you know, he was giving a message that stay united. It's bad time on us, but that bad time we should not start fighting amongst us. You know, he played on king's command and against his own desire. So remaining faithful and together, even in the when something goes wrong, you know, Bhima's behavior was typical blaming the leader, that we came with, you are our leader, we were following you. And now you see, we lost everything and we lost our kingdom and our wife is also in trouble. So Arjuna was telling him, no, the leader is also helpless. He never wanted, did Yudhishthir want Draupadi's Vastraharan? No. Did Yudhishthir want to lose the kingdom? No. So our leader's intentions were good. But somehow, because of destiny, we have landed here. So more important now is we stay together. And Yudhishthir's perspective here is so nice. You know, why he was silent. Both the brothers looked at Yudhishthir. They knew that he felt obliged in presence of Dhritarashtra and Bhishma. And what was going in Yudhishthir's mind. If those two elders did not speak out against what is happening, then how can I object to the proceedings? So much of respect to the elders. You know, we have a habit, something going wrong, we immediately protest. No, this is wrong. And here he has, you know, broken all the limits of showing respect to the elders. He says, they are not objecting, they are my elders. So how can I, you know? And then in between, Vikarna starts speaking. And Vikarna's only one statement which I picked up. He said, oh, best of the men, it is said that there are four vices to which king are prone. Hunting, drinking, womanizing, gambling. Rather, this comes to our four regulative principles. I just realized, hunting can be equal to meat eating, drinking, intoxication, womanizing, illicit sex, and gambling. So he, you know, we sometimes feel these four regulative principles have come from where they are appearing at multiple places in our this thing. In Mahabharata, Vikarna says that a person who has these four vices, hunting, drinking, womanizing, gambling. And he said, don't take this seriously. He may have just done it. And then Karna gets up and he says, yeah, everybody is remaining silent. Bhishma is silent. Why are you speaking? You know, and Karna was the one who says, not they are no longer kings, now they are servants, they should remove their loyal clothes. So we hear of Draupadi's Vastraharan, even the Pandava's Vastraharan was also done. So all five of them, they, you know, gave up their royal clothes and were just sitting on their lower clothings. So upper clothing was taken away, the mukut was taken away. For it's so insulting for a king to sit half naked in the assembly. So it's not that only Draupadi's vastraharan, there Pandava's vastraharan also, you know, took place. And when ultimately Dushyasan start pulling, the prayer of Draupadi actually goes like this, that O Govinda, O Kesha, O beloved of the gopis, O lord of the Vrindavan, O Janardhan, you are the destroyer of all affliction. I am sinking into the Kuru ocean. O lord, O soul of the universe, O creator of the world, save me who am distressed and losing my senses in this evil assembly. And all of us, you know, we have been taught that we should be always chanting in the mood of Draupadi. As if, you know, the vices are kind of, you know, stripping us off, doing our vastraharan. You know, they are pulling us. So Krishna is the one who can actually protect us. And therefore, in the mood of Draupadi, we have to chant our Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. With that I stop here. Take your leave. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.